I didn't have a job, and I was desperately trying to find places to preach, and there was a place in Ohio that had called me and wanted me to come and to preach for them, and so it was about 2 hours away from my home, and so I got up, I don't know, I left the house probably at 6 o'clock, got there at 8 o'clock. I wanted to drive around the town a little bit and see what the place looked like, and about 9 o'clock, they started at 9:30, I decided, well, I better start looking for the church building. I never did see it as I drove around. And I started driving, and I couldn't find the building. And I've got to teach Bible class in a half an hour, and I drove, and the longer I drove, the more panicked I was getting, and I started stopping churchgoers walking to church saying, hey, where's the Church of Christ? And I went in two places where I was directed that weren't the right places, and no one seemed to know. I eventually missed Bible class. It was time for the sermon. I caught a glimpse of a building in my rearview mirror as I took a turn, and I turned around just to check it out, and sure enough, it was that a man was getting up in the pulpit right as I walked in the door to impromptu preach that morning, and I just came on down the aisle and preached. But I say all that to say this. I was close, but I was lost. I drove past that building a dozen times that morning trying to find the church building. It was just tucked away off of a corner, and you couldn't see it from the road, and nobody knew where it was. And I drove right past it. I was so close, but I kept missing it. And I think that that serves to maybe illustrate the point that I want to make tonight, is that we can be so close to being saved and still be lost. You know, you probably, if you like sports, whoever your favorite team is, you can find a game where they were so close to winning, and it still rubs you. You know, it's still sore. Man, we almost won that. We were so close. If just this would have happened, we would have won. And we know what it's like, and the pain of being so close but still lost. That's nothing compared to eternity. We're not talking about a game. We're talking about our eternal destiny. And to think that there will be people in hell who have missed out on heaven when they were so close, and they missed it. What a tragedy. And I'll tell you what, if we miss it, we will have been among that number who was so close. The fact that you're here tonight means that you know something about God. You know something about His Word. You've been instructed enough that you're interested in Bible study. You have come here because you want to do what's right. You want to go to heaven. That's why you're here tonight. But there may be some here that, even though they're close, we might lose our soul. So I want us to look at a story in the Bible. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 19. I want us to look at a few verses from Matthew chapter 19. If you'll begin reading with me in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 19, we'll read down through verse 22. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to inherit life, keep the commandments." And he said, "Well, which ones?" Jesus said, "You know, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you'll love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. I mean, what still do I lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That is a story of a man that was so close, to being saved, but he was lost. And I'd like for us to look at that and look at some factors involved in that brief encounter that he had with Jesus and then make some application from that story. First of all, let me just say this. There is a principle of Bible study that's illustrated in this story that Jesus tells. Because we know it, and maybe even your Bible, I don't know if it has a little heading above those verses, maybe like a little subheading, and it may say something about that rich young ruler. We call him the rich young ruler. You don't see that in any one particular account. You can read Matthew, and you don't get a rich young ruler out of that. You can go to Luke, and you don't get a rich young ruler. You can go to Mark, and you don't get a rich young ruler. How do we know he was a rich young ruler? Well, you take Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, and you come up with a rich young ruler. Sometimes the Bible writers don't give you all the information in a particular passage. They give you some, but you have to learn more from other passages. That's why, you know, why is it that sometimes baptism's mentioned and sometimes it's not? Why is it that faith is sometimes mentioned and sometimes it's not? Repentance is sometimes mentioned and sometimes it's not. Even love for God is sometimes mentioned in our response to him, but sometimes it isn't. Well, all those things are necessary to be saved. You have to love God. You have to believe in his son. You have to turn from your sin. You have to be baptized. But you'll not find a single passage that lists all of them together in just one nice, concise verse. But I take the book as a whole, the remote and the immediate context, and I get it all from that. You won't find rich young ruler in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But when you take Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you find rich young ruler. That's just a thing to consider. But look at point number one. This rich young ruler, he came to the right person. Because the text tells us that he came to Jesus. And he identified Jesus. He knew he was something special because he calls him good teacher. He has heard of him, and so he comes to him for an answer. He recognized him as a source of authority, and he was. If you want to be saved, you've got to go to the right person. You wouldn't go to, you know, some guy on a corner that doesn't look like, you know, he's got everything together and ask medical advice from him. If you had some medical need, you'd go to a hospital, you'd go to a doctor. If you have spiritual need, you go to the right source. And listen, that's not our mom and dad. As much as we love our mothers on this day, as much as we love our parents, they are not the source of truth. As much as we love our spouse or our preacher, or whatever it may be, they're not the source of truth. Go to the right person. It's Jesus. He did that. He went to the right source. So that's a plus on his part. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So, you came to the right man. Also, the Bible tells us in John chapter 6, there was an occasion where Jesus had said some things that were kind of difficult. Some people, when they heard him, they said, this is crazy. And they just walked away. They quit walking with Jesus. And Jesus then turned to his disciples and he said, what are you guys going to do? These folks over here, they left me when they heard what I had to say. Are you going to stay? Or are you going to walk away too? And it was Peter who spoke up and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He was right. Who would you go to? You're the one who can tell us what to do to be saved. And this rich young ruler appreciated that. He comes to Jesus for the answer to the most important question that he could ever raise. We need to do the same. Don't settle with what I tell you or anybody else tells you. You open your Bible and see what Jesus had to say. That's the only way that we can be sure. Second thing, he asked the right question. When he came to Jesus, what did he ask? Did he ask, hey, is there really a heaven or a hell? Is hell really fire? Is it really going to last forever? Is there, think of the religious questions that people come up with. Is there going to be a rapture? What is the 666? You know, all these, he didn't come with all those kind of questions. He came and he asked this question. What must I do to have eternal life? Good question. I mean, what else matters? Does it matter whether you understand about this or that and the other if you're not saved? What if I know all the hard things about the Bible and I got those down pat and I don't have a relationship with God that will enable me to get to heaven? What good does that knowledge do us? He didn't want to know about peripheral things. He came to Jesus and said, tell me what I've got to do to be saved. That's the right question. And we need to be asking that question today. Are you sure? Are you sure you're saved? Not hoping. Well, I hope I am. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about assurance. Can you pillow your head tonight and say, I know without a doubt that because I have obeyed the truth, I'm saved. If you say, well, now I'm not perfect, and so I don't feel comfortable saying that because I make mistakes. You don't think God knows that? You don't think God takes into account your imperfection? That's why Jesus died. That those who live and walk in the light have this continual cleansing, the blood of Christ. You don't have to be perfect. God calls us to perfection, but we mess up, and he makes provision for that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says that we can know, not hope, but know that we have eternal life. This man came to Jesus saying, what do I have to do to be saved? You need to ask yourself that same question. What do I have to do that I might have eternal life? And I want to bring you to the third point. He received the right answer. What did Jesus tell him? If you look at verses 17 through 19, he said, well, you got to keep the commandments. Well, there's a whole bunch of commandments. What commandments are you talking about? And Jesus began to list some of them. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart. He goes and lists several specifically from the Ten Commandments itself. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Those are the commandments I'm talking about. And he said, well, I've kept those from my youth up. Well, he had, but he really hadn't. I mean, we can say that we keep the commandments of God, but nobody keeps them perfectly. He didn't do that. He still needed a Savior. And salvation, I want you to see this. When this man asked Jesus, what must I do that I might have eternal life? Jesus didn't say, nothing. You don't do anything. You don't work. It's all just a gift. It's just something that you receive. You don't have anything to do. That's a works theology. That's not what Jesus said to him, but that's the answer that a lot of people give you today. You don't have to do anything. God picks you and brings you into this relationship. And you'll know it when you get it. You'll feel it. It's not anything about what you've done or how you've responded to him. It's him picking you. That's not what Jesus told this man. And I'm sure Jesus told him the right thing, aren't you? He didn't make mistakes, especially on topics such as salvation, on anything. He was perfect. He said, here's what you got to do. You got to keep the commandments. That's true today. We need to keep the commandments of Jesus. We cannot walk with God. We cannot think that we have a home in heaven. We cannot believe that we have eternal life if we live as we please. Are there commandments of God that you deliberately, regularly, as a matter of practice and habit, ignore, just don't fulfill? I know we stumble because of weakness and because of sometimes ignorance. And some things, times we just give in to sin and we regret it when we're done. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that high-handed sin where we defy God and we know that it's wrong, but we're going to do it anyway because we like it. Is there anything like that in your life? Jesus said, you have to obey me. You have to keep the commandments if you want to be saved. I can't pick and choose what commandments of God that I want to obey. And that obedience has to be from the heart, Romans 6, verse 17. When we obey from the heart, that's when we're saved. It's not just rote obedience, but it's obedience that involves the heart as well. So Jesus gives him the right answer. And that answer applies to us today. But here's where he was so close, but he was lost. I mean, he came to the right man, he asked the right question, he received the right answer, but he made the wrong decision. Look at what the Bible says. Here's what Jesus said, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. He asked him, you know, I've done the commandments, but what am I still lacking? Is there anything else? And Jesus said, yeah, you need to get rid of your stuff and give it to people who need it. Now, why would Jesus tell that man that? Does that mean we have to live as paupers? Where in the Bible does it tell us that we have to sell our stuff? Well, it doesn't. This commandment is particular to this man. Jesus could see his heart, knew where his priorities were, and he saw that he loved things and money more than him. And so he just got right down to it. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to be my disciple and come and follow me, you're going to have to get rid of your stuff. That was his challenge, and he couldn't overcome it. Now, what he might tell me is maybe the same thing, or maybe something different. What is it in your life that you value more than a relationship with Jesus? Is there something that God could ask you to get rid of today in your life? And you say, I don't think so. I don't want to. Is there anything that if Jesus said, get rid of it, you would disobey him to keep it? If there is, you need to do a heart check in that area. That's exactly what Jesus is telling this man. I know you and your money, and you love it more than you love me. Proof is, get rid of it. I can't. And so this man made the wrong decision. In fact, he turned away sorrowful. He knew it was a wrong decision, but he just couldn't let go. And he walked away lost. The account in Mark, I think, is telling because the Bible says that Jesus, looking at him, loved him, but he still let him walk away. He didn't come up with some kind of a plan where he'd work it. Hey, no, wait, don't leave. We'll work on your money later, but don't leave. Stay here. We'll work on this. It was all or nothing. This is what it takes. I can't compromise what it takes. I can't change my word. You either do or you don't. You're either saved or you're lost. He chose to be lost. But he was so close. He was a good moral man. He had everything going for him. He's rich. He had his youth. He was moral. But he was lost. And when he was told what to do to be saved, he said, no. Question for you tonight as we bring this lesson to a close. You may be a lot like him in that you got a lot going for you. You may have youth. You may have good health. You may have riches. You know, we're living in nice houses. Most of us have multiple cars. We all have cell phones. We can communicate to anybody, anywhere, anytime. So much going for us. We possess the Word of God, our own copy, dozens maybe copies of the Bible. In that respect, we're a lot like him. And so when we ask the question, well, Lord, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, what does he say? Well, he says that we need to believe that he's the Son of God, that he came to this earth and that he died for us so that we could have our relationship with God restored, that we can be reconciled. That happened. We need to trust in that. Believe that that was the case. Turn from our sins. Say, I want to quit sinning. I want to live in harmony with God. I want to do his will. I want to deny myself and start doing what he wants rather than what I want. That's repentance. And I need to be willing to confess that, that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You ask me, I'll tell you. I'm not ashamed of it. And he says, then be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll have and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Will you do that? Have you done that? Is there anyone here tonight? Again, the reason you're here is because you're so close. You love God, you love Jesus, you're wanting to serve him. But is there anyone here who hasn't done what Jesus said to do? Let me tell you something. He won't change his mind. He won't change his commandments. If you say no to his conditions, he'll let you say no, and he'll let you walk away. He won't stop you. He didn't stop this man, but it broke his heart because Jesus loved him, and he loves you too, and he wants you to be saved. And if you haven't yet done that, why don't you make that decision tonight? And if you have done that, let me ask you, as a Christian, are you walking in the truth? Are there sins in your life that you have, they become your pet sins? Oh, I've cleaned up most of my life, but there are a couple things that I continue to do on the side. They're not hurting anybody. I enjoy it. I think God will overlook. No, you've got to keep the commandments. You can't live a life of rebellion. If there are things in your life you need to come clean with, maybe it has to do with your actions. Maybe it has to do with your tongue. Maybe it has to do with your mindset, your attitude. Come clean with that. Do what he commands you and know that you can have salvation. If we don't do what he asks in confessing our faults, he'll let us walk away. I don't want us to meet in the day of judgment. I don't want any of us to have to say, man, I was so close, but now I'm lost. If you're lost, we invite you to Jesus. If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as we stand together and sing?